Good morning and Happy New Year to you all. I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on the second Sunday of Christmas. Since this is the first Sunday of the month, we will celebrate communion as we did on Christmas Eve. So gather some bread or crackers and something to drink if you wish to receive communion this morning. I am joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Wise men came to worship the Christ child. Let such wisdom lead us to seek him and worship him. The wise men followed the light they had. Let us worship in the light of his presence provided for us today. Grant us wisdom to walk in the light that he provides and present ourselves and our gifts in grateful praise. Amen. Lord, we pray that the wisdom and understanding that we possess comes from you and is not based on worldly standards and values. Let us see the true worth of your kingdom and purposes that often run counter to what we are taught in our society to value and desire. We are reminded of the simplicity and power of the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time that we share announcements. I don't have very many. It's so good to see so many of you in church today. Really thrilled to see Chris and Steve White, who are joining us from Georgia, you know, and also the Wades are here once again from Colorado. And who knows where we all are today. Are there any announcements that any of you would like to make? Sherilyn for CE, Dave, anything you would like to say? Pastor Glenn? No? Okay, well, since there are no announcements, we're going to be moving on to our celebration of Holy Communion. For those of you who did not know about this, we're going to be going through the rite of Holy Communion. And if you would like to grab some bread and something to drink for the proper time, we invite you to do so. So Glenn, would you please invite us to the table?
It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All that humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life. All that are truly penitent for their sins and would be delivered from them. All that walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandment of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to take this holy sacrament. Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in our frailty and sin, we stand in constant need of his mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek his presence and pray for his spirit to come to us.
We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray.
Lord, we invite you into our homes and our hearts as we celebrate Holy Communion. We are apart but united by your Spirit. We pray now that you would bless this bread and bless this cup, which we will receive according to your promise. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking, that our eyes may be opened and that we may recognize the risen Lord in our midst and realize he is present wherever we go, and that we have entered holy space as we worship you now in this place. Amen.
So take this bread and eat of it, for it is a reminder of the body of Christ broken for you. And take this cup and drink of it, for it is a reminder of Christ's blood shed for you. Let us pray.
Eternal God and Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And Dave, do you want to introduce this or do you want me to just play them?
I'll introduce it. Okay. Good morning, everybody. We're going to sing our first hymn of the day. Actually, the opening hymn was, "O Splendor at God's Glory Bright." That was our opening hymn this morning. And the hymn we're going to sing is not in the new hymnal, is not in our hymnal. It's in our old hymnal, which was called the Pilgrim's Hymnal. The new hymnal we have is the Methodist Hymnal. So this was a tune, it's actually an Epiphany song. I wanted to choose something different from We Three Kings, because everybody sings that for Epiphany. So I decided to choose a different tune, so you will not find it in the new hymnal, but the lyrics are down in the chat section, and they were posted there. If you go down to where chat is, you will see them. There's a three verses, I believe. And you're going to hear, if you're not familiar with the song, you might be familiar with the melody because it's a familiar tune, but you'll hear me play it down one time first, and then we'll sing. So let's sing our hymn together. "What Star Is This With Beams So Bright?"
Jacob, shall a star proceed? And lo, the Eastern sages stand to read in heaven the Lord's command. To God the Father, heavenly light, to Christ revealed in earthly night, to God the Holy Ghost, we praise an endless song of thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Dave. I have just a couple of celebrations. First of all, a Happy New Year to each and every one of you. And I also learned that Pam Torello has managed to get all of the known homeless people undercover until next Wednesday. So congratulations to her. That's not all the people in the world, I should make that clear. It's all the people known to us in this area. She's been feeding them devotedly all through this pandemic by handing out bag lunches and suppers and so forth. So I'd like to celebrate Pam and all of the work that she's been doing. Do any of you have a celebration that you would like to mention? Just unmute yourself and speak. Yeah.
I'd like to celebrate that today is my son Tyler's 29th birthday.
That's not possible.
Yeah, I know.
You're only 32, we heard before the service.
Yeah. Wonderful. So I celebrate his birthday today.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no other celebrations then, we turn to our concerns as a church family, and we pray this morning for people who are ill and any others in need of prayer, and we include these people this morning. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Ed and Janet, although they are at home, I'm told, which is great, for Brigida, for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, for Doris and Walter and Marie, for Lee, Melissa Mary, that's Nancy Mitchell's niece, who's an NP, and she has developed COVID-19. We pray for Carol, for Len. Len Mitchell has gone to Sachem House in East Bridgewater for rehabilitation. We pray for Marge, Bob Avoyan's sister, for John and Mary Ann Reinders with COVID, for Jane and her family. And I'm so sad to have to announce that Carol Bashan passed away this past Thursday. There will be a memorial service for her whenever we can get back into the sanctuary. So those who remain in our nursing homes are Jackie, that's Jackie Glass, and Carolyn Farrell, who is now in assisted living in Newton. As always, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19. We pray for all the people in the forefront of that battle and for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the health of our nation and we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So let us pray for all who are in special needs of God's grace. Let us pray. Loving God, we offer you this day thanks for our church, the body of Christ, the family of faith, our witness in the world. Help us consider Christ in all that we do, letting our decisions be made as with his mind, our relationships be formed as with his heart, our deeds done as with his hands. Encourage us to have the vision to go where your Holy Spirit leads us individually and as a congregation, opening us to possibilities of service that you imagine for us and equip us to accomplish. Strengthen us as a family of faith, bonding us in mutual support, guiding us toward love of our children and youth, keeping us close to you. Help us never to forget those for whom we should pray. And we ask your healing presence on those we have already mentioned and those whose names we now call out in this silence and into your presence. Hear our prayer, words offered in gratitude, humble petition, and praise, and all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day.
For our scripture reading today, we're going to hear from Matthew. Each of the gospel writers had a specific reason for writing their particular gospel. Matthew is generally referred to as the Jewish gospel. Everything that Matthew writes about is meant to be proof or an explanation that Jesus is the Messiah, the fulfillment of ancient prophecy, the hope of Israel. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Please hear these words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where's the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. I named my sermon today, Five Kings More or Less. It struck me as I was reading these familiar words that traditionally there are three kings that come to worship the child of Bethlehem. They stop to speak to King Herod the Great, that's four kings, to ask directions to the child because they're foreigners and don't know where this prophecy is about his birth, where he was to be born. And finally, they have come to worship a newborn king, who is no longer in a manger, you will notice, but he is in a house in Bethlehem. So that would be five kings involved in this story. So why would I add the more or less? Well, first of all, because the so-called three kings are never called kings in the Bible. And in fact, the Bible never tells us how many there are. It's just a plural word. Why has the number stuck with the story of three wise men? Because we're told they brought three gifts. Well, maybe there were two and two people went in on the same gift. We do that these days. When Jesus was born, says Matthew, the word is magi. Magi came from the east and worshiped him. Who were these magi? Well, they were not necessarily wise men or we three kings of Orient are that Dave did not want to sing today. Thank you, Dave. Matthew calls them magi, magi. That's where we get our word magic. They were magicians, these magi. They were stargazers. They were aware of this great star. They were astrologers, alchemists, wizards who dabbled in magic potions. Some scholars have speculated that the gifts of the magi to Jesus, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, may have been the tricks of their trade, elements used in their magic. Of course, Christian tradition has attributed these gifts as being symbolic of Christ's various roles. Gold, for the fact that he is a king. Frankincense, which is of the priesthood, so he was going to be a teacher of the law. And myrrh, which is the spice used to embalm the dead. And we know that his death was a part of this whole story. Not only were the Magi foreigners, but they were Gentiles. They were non-Jews. Not only were they Gentiles, but they were also Gentiles who practiced the very magic arts which were specifically condemned in the scriptures of the Jews. You may or may not remember why King Saul lost his throne, it was because he went to see the Witch of Endor to conjure up what the future would be. And on the few other occasions where a magus, which is the singular of magi, is mentioned in the New Testament, it is in an extremely unfavorable light. And Matthew says that these magi were the very first to come to Bethlehem and worship Jesus as a king. The very first. Can you sense a little bit of shock in that? Matthew was the most Jewish of the four Gospels. Matthew tirelessly quotes the Hebrew scriptures to demonstrate that Jesus is the Messiah, the fulfillment of the hope to Israel, a savior, the one who has come for the benefit of the Jews. And yet even Matthew opens his account of this very Jewish Messiah by noting that those insiders, those scholars of the Jews who had the scriptures, those who were the recipients of the promises of God had missed it. And these Gentiles, these outsiders who knew nothing of scripture, the wrong race, the wrong religion, were the very first to come and pay homage to this small baby. I think, therefore, by putting these magi up front at the very beginning of the story of Jesus, Matthew wants to tell us something about the nature of Jesus. This baby, this Messiah sent to save, was not the sole possession of the Jews, not our sole possession, not our people's property, for he is Lord of all. He is the savior of the world. So 12 days after Christmas, January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas in the popular song, became a festival that predated the festival of Christmas and is called Epiphany, which simply means manifestation or extraordinary appearance. With the star, with these magi, there is this incredible, extraordinary appearance of Jesus. It is fascinating to read about all the fuss caused by one little baby. When the Magi said that they had come to worship a king, they had come to Herod because they didn't know where the prophecy was, so they needed the Jewish king's help. That sent King Herod into a panic that led to the killing of all the boy babies under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem. Matthew's passage does reflect 2 very different responses to the birth of Jesus. The one of adoration by the Magi and King Herod's reaction of rage and anger and fear. Well, why do you suppose King Herod reacted that way? Well, put yourself in Herod's place. Herod had been declared the king of the Jews by the Roman Empire. And if you were living large and in charge of everything around you, and news came to you that a baby had been born who would someday challenge your authority, threaten your way of life, shake up the status quo, would you get a little bit bent out of shape? Throughout history, kings and tyrants have had sensitive noses for snooping out anyone who might challenge their authority at some future time. Herod the Great was already elderly in that society at the age of about 68. He seems to have become a bit paranoid. I mean, who goes out and murders babies in fear of them? King Herod even ended up killing some of his own heirs. The saying for King Herod was better to be a pig in King Herod's courtyard than a son in his court, because he did kill some of his own children. In Herod's case, it was not the fact that a child who had been born at that time presented the problem, because certainly 30 years later when Jesus appeared, Herod the Great had long been dead. In fact, he died just a few years after this event. The threat Herod reacted to was the possibility of future conflict. What would happen when the child grew up? Realistically, Herod would not be around long enough to see the child grow up, and that's what worried Herod. He could see trouble down the road, so he acted accordingly. He attempted to eliminate the problem before it became a problem. He responded like people in positions of power all too frequently respond. Herod was so concerned with the preservation of the status quo that he was even willing to slaughter innocent children to accomplish that goal. 2,000 years later, not much has changed in that regard. There are still Herods in our day and age, and they still seek to maintain power by threatening to kill those who would openly oppose them, even if it means killing millions of innocent children and adults. Frightened kings will not hesitate to pull the trigger or push the button. A few million innocent lives are of no consequence when it comes to protecting the glory of their empire. Apparently out of fear, our own government acquiesced with breaking up families at the border and putting children in cages for the same reasons. For some reason, these children strike fear in our hearts. However, there is another response revealed in our scripture for today, the response of the Magi. They had been searching the heavens for signs of significant world events when they saw that star, that one extraordinary star shining more brightly than any other star in the night sky. They followed the star and they found the child. And when they found him, they did not feel threatened by his presence. They recognized him for who he was, these strangers who had come to Bethlehem. Why do you suppose these grown men, probably every bit as old as King Herod, responded so differently to the Christ child? After all, they were probably rulers too, of a sort. We think in Middle Age and Eastern cultures, astrologers were admired and respected as religious leaders in their communities. And why were they willing to travel so great a distance at so high a cost, not to mention enduring the dangers of travel in those days, just to seek out an unknown child? Maybe they had different sets of values than Herod had. Herod valued law and order, the way things have always been for everyone, except for himself, of course, that is. He wanted to preserve the status quo. The Magi, on the other hand, were not looking for power and order, but they were seeking wisdom and truth. As we leave this arguably dreadful year of 2020 and look to 2021, are the wise of our world today capable of accepting truth, even if it comes from the most vulnerable and powerless members of our society? If the preservation of power, the status quo, is what we value most, then we will continue to mortgage the future of our children to buy whatever passes for success. The wise men came to the place where the child was and they gave their gifts. If our journeying and seeking have been in response to the God who calls us forth, we also will come to the place where we discover the child. But we too must present our gifts. And our gold and frankincense and myrrh are such things as energy, integrity, ingenuity, loyalty, hope, and especially love, the deepest elements of heart and soul and mind and strength. In the year 2021 and beyond, let us renew our commitment to love and worship God with all that we have and all that we are, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, for that is what Jesus has told us to do. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. May the love of God, which is broader than the measure of our minds, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is sufficient for all our needs, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who shall lead us into all truth, be with us this day and always. Amen.
Come, let us us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
This concludes our service for today. If you'd like to stick around for our virtual coffee hour, go get yourself a cup of coffee and join us back here.